Good morning. Thank you for the invitation again this morning. And my wife, Diane, apologizes for not being here. She back at Timmins with the girls and preparing for their Sunday school concert this evening. So busy with those sorts of things. This morning, as we consider the Christmas season and the spirit of Christmas, a phrase we often hear this time of year and associate with that thoughts of joy and peace and loving kindness and sharing, these sorts of good things, these thoughts we enjoy and I think are universally accepted. However, there's one other aspect of the at least the first Christmas, which I hadn't really considered. Thanks, Joe. Which I hadn't really considered much before, but as I've been looking at a few passages in the New Testament, in the book of Matthew, because really when we consider this Christmas story, we only have two passages or two books to look to, right? Matthew and Luke. And so this morning we'll be looking at a few select passages from Matthew chapter 1 and chapter 2. And a character sketch, really, surrounding an individual, one of the characters who were involved, was involved in the Christmas, that first Christmas event. And, you know, in many traditions, Mary centers large in the scheme of things, and obviously was a righteous young woman. However, Joseph is often considered almost mentioned on a side note, and I was struck this morning with Stan's song because I'd never heard that song before, and secondly, Joseph is often not mentioned all that much, and so it fit perfectly with the message this morning, and of course we ought not to be surprised by that. Wasn't orchestrated by us, was it? And so this morning I'd like to consider a few thoughts from Joseph's life, that very first Christmas, and see what lessons we can learn from him and how he responded through these circumstances as they unfolded. We want to try to imagine things this morning through his eyes. Difficult to do. Of course, we're separated by time and geography. A different culture altogether. However, I think we can try to attempt at least to understand and put ourselves in his shoes this morning. A difficult set of circumstances he was in, to say the least. So let's read from Matthew chapter 1, and we'll begin in verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. Three snapshots from the life of Joseph we'll take a look at this morning, this being the first one. And what is going to characterize Joseph's experience in each of these episodes we're going to take a look at is, in a word, obedience. Each time and every time Joseph's asked to do something, albeit difficult, he responds with obedience. And I'm impressed by that. And it's a tremendous lesson, of course, for us even this morning in our life. I never thought of the Christmas season. As we said, we think of the Christmas spirit as a time of joy and giving and hope and love and all these sorts of things. But I suggest this morning there's one more, and it's obedience, and which characterized Joseph on this occasion and rightfully ought to characterize us as well. So in this first passage, we learn a lot as it sets the stage for what's going to unfold. We have Joseph and Mary. We're introduced to these two individuals, and we're told that Mary and Joseph are engaged, they're betrothed. And we know that, we understand that concept. We understand what that's all about. However, I'd suggest in this culture, in the Jewish culture at that time in history, it meant even much more. They really were seen to be married. They weren't living together at this point. They weren't together physically. However, for all intents and purposes, they were a couple. They would be seen as such. It was the expectation. It wasn't a flippant matter to be betrothed in this way. Unfortunately, in our culture, we know that to be a little bit different. However, then it was a very significant relationship they had. It was a very serious matter. And we read here of a problem. Mary's pregnant. And as we said, we want to try to put ourselves in Joseph's shoes this morning. And how do you think he would have felt? He knew the child wasn't his. And I think I guarantee the first thought that went through his mind wasn't, well, this must be the Holy Spirit. The last thing that would have gone through his mind, if at all. And so we see a very serious problem here, a very difficult circumstance he's faced with, very troublesome. And I don't know the time lapse between the time he discovered that she was pregnant and the visitation by the angel. I don't know how long of a period of time that was. But for however period of time it was, it would have been very, very difficult. You think of the frustration and the grief and the feeling of betrayal and the sadness and just his life not unfolding as he had planned it, surely. The carpet's been pulled out from under him. And he's left wondering, what is going on here? What's happening? This is the woman I love. And we're told that he's a righteous man. That he's a man who trusts the Lord. He's a man who, for him, God is first in his life. And he's faithful to his God. He's a righteous man. And he's faced with a terrible dilemma here. Caught between the law in this period of time. He's living under the law. And the law he's bound to keep. And the woman he loves. He's in love with Mary. They're going to be married. But she's pregnant. And so we read he's thinking about what needs to be done. How is he going to respond? What's he going to do? Well, the next thing we read that he's a compassionate man, a righteous man, but also a compassionate man. This is the woman he loves. And he doesn't want to disgrace her. He's well aware of what the future holds for her in the community. Amongst their family, amongst their peers, a woman who's been unfaithful would be an outcast. He loves her. He doesn't want to disgrace her, but at the same time, in his mind, he figures this off. Right, it's over. I mean, in terms of a relationship together, it's just not going to happen. So he's going to put her away secretly, whatever that means, but. end the engagement and have her go through with the pregnancy some other place, some other way. Very difficult, very heart-wrenching, very emotional. Very difficult for this man, a righteous man, a compassionate man, a man who is his desire is to do the right thing in the eyes of God. And respond in the appropriate way to the woman he loves. And while he's considering all this, and I don't know how many sleepless nights he endured, but while this is all happening, we're told that an angel appears to him. And what a night that was. Now here he is, and he's sleeping, and then an angel appears to him. And it's interesting how he's addressed. Joseph, son of David. That's a very significant statement. David's of royal lineage. He has a rich history. And I think it should be noted, I mean, by this point, Mary likely already understands what's happening here. Although we only learn that from Luke's account. But it's been a long time since the Lord has spoken directly to people, hasn't it? And when we read through the Bible and we finish the Old Testament, we flip a page, we're in the New Testament, we just carry right on, right? We know there's a long period of time in between, or some 400 years. The heavens have been silent. No direct communication from the throne of heaven until now. That was a long, dry period in Israel's history. But now the silence is broken because there's a message to be told. And the angel appears first to Mary and now Joseph. And I'm sure the first time, I don't know, we're not told if Mary pled with Joseph. We can imagine that occurring. Trying to explain what really happened. Joseph, just believe me, it's not what you think. This is from God. How do you think Joseph would have responded? Right, really? Mary, you're going to have to do better than that. Right? That's pretty tough, right? That's a tough story. It's tough to buy into that, really. But now he hears it firsthand for himself. An angel appears. Joseph, son of David. As I said, he draws Joseph's mind back to his royal lineage. I don't know if how long it had been since Joseph had considered that he was a son of David, Israel's greatest king. A king hadn't sat on the throne in Israel for a long, long time. Hundreds of years. But now the angel addresses him in that manner. Very significant. Filled with hope and a future and victory. Reminding Joseph that God himself hadn't forgotten his people. That what the news he was about to receive, it would be the fulfillment of what had been long promised throughout the pages of the Old Testament. That though perhaps they had forgotten about it, these obscure passages and promises made long ago, Joseph, son of David, brace yourself. You're about to hear something. I'm going to tell you something that you in your wildest dreams could never, ever imagine. Indeed, the child within Mary's womb is of the Holy Spirit, is of God, is God. I try my best to enter into what would be going through Joseph's mind. I fall short. I can't. We've read the story so often. It's so familiar to us. Since we were children, we've known the Christmas story. Yeah, the angel shows up and tells the story, and Joseph and Mary, they get the news and carry on. Oh, it's mind-blowing, isn't it? It's phenomenal. It's astounding. These otherwise ordinary people, a young man and woman, had their lives turned upside down. Very dramatically, very, very quickly. And things are starting to unfold here that I'm sure they never, ever imagined. I'm sure they spent nights and days wondering, why us? What is happening? What are we involved with here? We read in the scripture, Luke tells us that Mary treasured as she observed and as she saw things happening and the Lord seeing things and how people responded. She treasured those things in her heart, pondered them in her heart. She wondered, processing it all, seeing what is happening here? Well, how is this unfolding? This is God. As the words of the song Stan sung. Pointed out so vividly. The emotion here is Joseph, a young carpenter, called upon to raise the one who created the heavens and the earth. So Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what she told you is true. Big news. We thought our Christmas was stressful. There's Joseph. Imagine Joseph. So after all, it is a supernatural occurrence. And then the narrative goes on that it in fulfillment of Scripture, draws us back to a statement that Isaiah had recorded. And the angel tells him, you're going to name the son. Mary is going to have the child. You have the privilege of naming the child. Well, this is what you shall name him, Jesus. A common name at the time, but a significant name. We remember the Old Testament equivalent, Joshua, Yeshua, Jehovah saves. For he said, he shall save his people from their sins. What a statement. This child, God with us, will save people from their sins. And then verse 24, Joseph awoke and he did as the angel. And this is really the theme this morning as we look at Joseph's life, not merely to be astounded by the difficult circumstances Joseph found himself in, but to be impressed with his obedience. That's really the application for ourselves. He woke up and he did. I'm sure he still had questions. I'm sure he was still reeling, wondering what is happening. However, I will follow through with what I know, with what I've been told. I don't have all the answers to every question, but this I know. God has told me to marry that woman, and I'll do that. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know, you know, what are people going to think? We know this, not every person in Nazareth received the same dream. Right? They still were thinking what Joseph had been thinking. But Joseph was faithful and obedient to the word of the Lord. And he married Mary. And then she gave birth to the son. And he was faithful in naming the boy, Jesus. I think that's significant for several reasons. One, simple obedience. He was given the name. He followed through and named the boy, Jesus. But in a sense, I wonder, I don't want to read too much into it, but I wonder, in following through and naming him Jesus, he knew what the word meant. It was as though he's saying, I believe that this one will save us from our sins. I believe it. And as to show that I believe it, as a visual demonstration, I will follow through. This boy, his name is Jesus. And as people ask, how'd you come up with that name? Well, sit down. I've got a story to tell you. I'll tell you exactly why his name is Jesus. It's a grand story. from heaven itself. Well, the story goes on in chapter 2. We'll skip ahead to the next chapter. Now, this is approximately a two-year gap in time now that has elapsed. And this is after the wise men or the Magi have visited and left. And so in verse 13 of chapter 2, now when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while it was still night and left for Egypt. And he remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. Now here again, they're settled in, they're living in Bethlehem. They're now in a house. They've been there for a couple of years. And things perhaps, they're starting to settle in. Life is starting to become a little more normal as it ever is going to be for this family. And then a dream. Pack up, Joseph. Time to leave. You're going to Egypt. And you know, we can appreciate that travel wasn't as common then as or convenient as it is today for us. Going to Egypt wasn't a holiday. We know through Old Testament scripture the relationship Israel had with Egypt, and every time someone went down to Egypt, it didn't really end all that well. And most fresh in their mind might have been the years of bondage they had spent down there as a nation. It weren't pleasant memories evoked, I'm sure, the thought of going down to Egypt. Why? Well, there was a practical reason. Safety. Herod, you know what Herod's like? A little bit nuts. And he's flown off the handle again, and he's going to slaughter all the babies in the land. So for a very practical reason, we have to protect the Lord, and we're going to remove him from this place. So you're going to go down to Egypt for a period of time. Second reason, Joseph, you wouldn't understand this, but there's a prophetic significance to it as well. Because way back in the Old Testament, there's one of those obscure little passages that's out of Egypt I called my son. And that was referring to this event, Joseph. You have no idea. But just obey. You're part of something grand, something marvelous, something you can't even understand. So we read very wonderfully. So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while it was still night. We know what it's like traveling at night. Some people love traveling at night. You know, my brother-in-law does it all the time. Oh, I take the kids. You travel at night, they sleep. I tried that once. I was like, yeah, great advice. Maybe I'll try that. Yeah. Up all night, right? All the lights, and you know, we're traveling. Oh, it's great. Never traveled at night before. So excited. Just wound right up. Then up all night, and then what do we do the next day? Right? I'm tired. They're tired. It's great. Great trip. Right? Great advice. I don't know. If it works for you, that's great, but I'll never do it again. This venture took place at night, and probably not the most convenient time to do it, but there they are, gathered up. Immediate obedience. Joseph received the dream, and right away, he obeyed. And down to Egypt they go. We don't know how long they were there, but we're told a little while later. We're going to read down to verse 19 now. But when Herod died, so we don't know how long of a period that was they were down there, but Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. So Joseph got up. I love it. Every time Joseph has to do something, he just does it. Simple obedience. So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, came into the land of Israel. Now there's a problem because they returned from where they left, Bethlehem, in that region. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father, he was afraid to go there. So they return to the land Herod's dead. The threat is gone. However, Herod's son is now reigning. And history tells just as unstable as his father. So really, I wonder what was going through Joseph's mind here. Again, I've been told the angel sent by God told me to return. Here I am, but it doesn't seem like things are really any safer, any better. Why am I told to come back? Here I am. And then we continue reading. Then after being warned by God in a dream, he left for the regions of Galilee and came and lived in a city called Nazareth. And this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. He shall be called Nazarene. Well, this is an interesting sequence of events. Here he returned to the region of Bethlehem. Maybe he figured that's where the Lord had to be raised. This is the city of David, and it seemed appropriate that the next king would be raised in this city. That was his human thinking. It made sense on one level. The Lord had other plans. And he said, no, Joseph, you're going to keep going further north. You're going to return to your hometown. We know that's where they were from. Luke tells us that's where they had left. Mary and Joseph had left from Nazareth to go down to Bethlehem for the census. So you're going to go back there. And on one level, you think, great, that's good. They're going to go back home, settle into their hometown, and you know the comforts and the familiarity of the hometown. And then I thought, man, that's probably the last place I'd want to go, given the circumstances surrounding the birth of the Lord Jesus, isn't it? Of all the places in Israel, I'd want to go to maybe a big city where I could blend in and no one would know me. And I could carry on business and raise our son and the rest of the family eventually anonymously. And oh, the Lord had other plans. No, you're going to go back to Nazareth. Small town Nazareth, where your family is. And everyone knows you. And everyone knows the circumstances surrounding. And we can understand, we can appreciate that, again, Mary and Joseph knew this child was unique. This was the Son of God they were raising. Nothing immoral or inappropriate at all had transpired. But no one else knew that. And as they return to Nazareth, I wonder as they walk the streets into the back home, the whispering, the murmuring, the people as they, oh, there they are, they're back. You remember them? It's been a few years, but they're back. There's the boy there. That's the one. Yeah. Very human, very real. And there's a passage in John chapter 8, and I'm just going to read it quickly here because I think it's I find it a fascinating passage, and I wonder if here the Lord and the Pharisees are talking, they're going back and forth, and I just want to break in here. Then they answered, that's the Pharisee answer, said to the Lord Jesus, Abraham is our father. Now, this is verse 39, sorry, chapter 8 of John and verse 39. Then the Pharisees answered, said to him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father. And then they said to him, and this is an interesting statement, says, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. And I wonder, and this is years down the road, I wonder if this was a stab, just a poke at as though they were saying, you can almost imagine it here, they're discussing back and forth, and the Lord's really got them on the ropes, as he always did. I mean, in a verbal back and forth, I mean, he always bested them. And then they pull out this card and say, don't tell us about whose father we are. We're not born of fornication. I wonder if the insinuation is, you were. We know your story. We remember. Everyone knows it. Who are you to tell us anything? Don't be throwing anything in our faces. We know exactly what you're all about and where you came from. We know your background. I don't want to read too much into that, but I just wonder. if that's what happened there. I wonder if the Lord grew up in those circumstances his whole life, with people always questioning, always wondering, always pointing, always looking down. And Mary and Joseph as well, living under those circumstances. They moved back to Nazareth. They were told by God to move back to that town. Now, we're going to wrap things up here. Tremendous lessons from one man, whom often we overlook. A tremendous example of faith, of obedience, simple faith in difficult circumstances. Often, you know, every time he was given a dream, he still had the option when he woke up after the Lord or the angel appeared, and sometimes the Lord appeared directly and told him, he still had the option whether he's going to obey or not, right? But he always did. He always followed through. He always carried out. And immediately, he did what he was asked to do. Understanding why, not always. Convenient, rarely. Humanly speaking, did it all make sense? Probably not. But was there a purpose? Absolutely. Was he blessed? Tremendously. Was it worth it? And so for ourselves, I think the application is clear. We don't have angels appearing to us or God speaking directly. Well, he does speak directly, doesn't he, through his word. We have his word. And we read it, we study it, we understand it. Maybe not all of it. Questions, we read passages, still have questions I don't understand. Things I just don't get. But do I obey what I know? What is clear, what is understandable, do I follow through on that? That's what the Lord would have us, isn't it? And Joseph was part of a grand program. And even he didn't understand the fullness of it, I'm sure. The fulfillment of several prophecies. And ultimately raising the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Lord of heaven and earth. He had a part in that. The Lord selected him for that. But he was faithful in carrying out what the Lord had asked him to do each step of the way. And so for ourselves, as we go our lives, different circumstances, different situations we all face. But may we all face it with the same response. Obedience to the word of the Lord. What he asks of us, will we do it? The men of old, the saints of old, were commended for that. Trusting God. Trusting God. And following through with what he asked them to do. May we be commended in the same way in our day today. Father, we thank you for your word and for these stories tucked away for us and the response of this one man time and time again. We don't know a whole lot about him in so many ways. We don't know what he looked like. We don't know, not even a word he said was recorded. But we see his actions. A man who was faithful, who responded in the right way time and again, who heard what you asked him to do and simply did it. Not easy, but Father was faithful. And so for ourselves, we pray that we would live our lives in the same way, trusting you, following through what you call us to do, living out your word as we read it, as we study it, as we learn it, that we would grow in it. And so by doing, we would honor the Lord Jesus, that we would be lights shining his love and his brilliance, his glory to those around us. And we would ask in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, and Merry Christmas.